Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Man, good to have you on the show, as always. And,
hey, good to be on, as usual.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew, and, of course, I'm William Ramo. On today's show, we're going to talk about the NBA, trade deadline that's going to go down on March 25th. Unfortunately, I got to talk about the LeBron James injury, you know, shocking injury. We're also going to talk about the Knicks and the Nets, baseball teams. Carlos Carrasco, you know, with the Mets, he had a tough injury. He's expected to be out for 2 months. We'll get into that. And of course, we'll also talk about, the wrestling with, the Fastlane pay-per-view event coming up tomorrow. And the other stuff going on in the world of wrestling. And, of course, you guys know the number. It's 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to, you know, talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. And with that said, let's go right into this injury with LeBron James. Big news. You know, he sprained his leg on a play. Unfortunately for him, LeBron James, he had to leave the game. And the Lakers fell. Final score of 99-94 to the Atlanta Hawks. And, the injury happened in the first half after Solomon Hill, banged his right ankle. And, we don't know how long he's going to be out. But, yeah, this is a big, big blow for the Lakers, the defending world champion Los Angeles Lakers. What's your thoughts on this?
Wow, I didn't even know he was injured.
Yeah.
But that's a big blow if he's out for an extended time, because they already have AD out.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have LeBron. I mean, that's hopefully, again, it's not that serious. And hopefully he returns soon. But, right now in the standings, I think they're third behind Utah and what's the other team that they're behind right now? I think Phoenix, I think, was the other team. So they're like third or fourth in the standings. So, this is not going to be good. But hopefully, it's not serious and he comes back soon.
Yeah, LeBron, hopefully it's not serious because, he's 36 years old. I mean, this guy is practically invincible, but, father time, gets everybody in the world of sports. So, unless if you retire when you're young, extremely young, like Barry Sanders in NFL, your father time's gonna catch up with you, hopefully it's not a serious injury. Fortunately, he was able to stand on his own feet, but he was limping back to the bench, and I think he finished with with 10 points. So his streak of scoring at least 10 points in 1,036 games is still intact. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery. Here's what Solomon Hill had to say about him accidentally colliding into him, and some people are thinking that it was intentional. Dennis Schroeder was saying that that's an unnecessarily play to dive in the leg like that. But according to Solomon Hill, you know, it was an accident. So here's what he said, and I quote, "Would never disrespect the game and take a player out purposely. He knows that. That's all that matters to me. Praying for a speedy recovery. Hashtag RIP to the mention, though. Hashtag more DMs than shorty." I guess I don't know. Maybe he's saying people are talking about him more than signing to people's DMs. I have no idea what he meant by that. I have no idea. But in any case, here's what LeBron James had to say. He wrote on social media just a few hours ago, "Nothing angers and saddens me more than not being able to and for my teammates." Nothing angers and saddens me more than not being available to and for my teammates. I'm hurt inside and out right now. The road back from recovery begins now. Back soon like I never left. Hashtag the kid from Akron. Man. And the Lakers, they're gonna play tomorrow night. They're going to play tomorrow in Phoenix. He did travel with the team, but, you know, Lord only knows when he's going to come back.
Yeah, hopefully it's a speedy recovery. Hopefully he's not out too long. So
yeah, absolutely.
We'll see.
As of right now, if this season unfortunately ends for him, he was averaging 25.8 points, 8.1 rebounds, and 8.0 assists. And so far, he only missed one game, but barring a miracle, he's going to miss more than that. Hopefully a speedy recovery to him. Hopefully he gets well soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's shift gears to the Knicks. And I think the Knicks are playing tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, against the Sixers.
Yes, right. Exactly.
At the Garden.
Against the Sixers at the Garden. The Knicks won their most recent game. I think it was against the Magic, I think.
It was at the Magic. Yeah, a close game too. Quickly was injured. We have a lot of injuries with the guards.
Hey, absolutely. Randall had his third triple double.
Yeah.
Of the year. Trying to think. What was the score again?
I think it was 93-92 or 94-93, something like that.
Yeah, something to that effect. Let me see. Randall had a triple-double. I think he had, maybe 25 points. I know he had a career-high 17 assists. Let me see if I could.
I think it was 18, 17, and 11 or 18, 17, and 10, something like that.
Let me check right now just to confirm it. He had 18 points, 17 assists, and 10 rebounds.
There you go.
And Alec Burke off the bench, he had 21 points and 10 rebounds. Barrett had 17 points, And then Ntilikina, Frank Ntilikina, man, he had the best game of his career. He had scored three or four threes, and he scored 13 points. He only had one assist and two rebounds, but man, he was scoring, and I he had a fire in him, man. Like I saw in his eyes, man, like he was really like he was in the zone.
Yeah,
for a guy who just scored 13 points, like it looked like he finally woke up.
Well, you know, Ntilikina, the thing with him is he plays good defense, but you know, there's times where you know you don't get much scoring from him. And, you know, or you don't get much, you know, production from him. But he stepped up, you know, with Quickly out, Rose out, and some of these other injuries we have. You know, he definitely stepped up. And Reggie Bullock stepped up also.
Yeah,
he had a big steal in that game.
Yeah, I was about to say that, too. You read my mind, man. He had 20 points off the bench.
Yeah, he was
really good, too. And, Mitchell Robinson is expected to come back soon, even though he had that big injury. He's been cleared to play. They think he might play, but you know, off the bench. But for me, I think you can't rush him. Just let him come back when he's ready to fully play. You know, don't just let him play. You know, off the bench. You know. Yeah, I think they should they got to be very careful with that. You know, so we'll see what happens with that.
Knicks, you know, they're staying, they're trying to stay around 500 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, 21-21.
Yeah, 21-21. So they'll try to get revenge against the Sixers tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. The Sixers beat them on Tuesday night in Philly. Now they're in the Garden. So hopefully, as Clyde Frazier would say, hopefully they'll have the fortuitous dunks.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. And on the other side of, you know, of Brooklyn, or I should say of New York, is the Nets. The Nets, they won six straight until the Magic defeated them by the final score of 121-113. And if I'm not mistaken, Kyrie Irving, man, he was phenomenal. He had 43 points. Had, you know, six rebounds and, you know, four assists. James Harden, you know, he finally came back to earth. You know, I was starting to think he was Kryptonian the way how he was playing. Dude was racking up triple-double nonstop. He finished with a respectable 19 points. And then he, you know, to go along with the nine assists. But, yeah, man. The Magic, man, they're not having a good year. They're 14-27, but you know, this was their NBA Finals right here. Or Eastern Conference Finals, I should say. Against the Nets.
The Nets are playing real well.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing real well, you know, Harden, you know, he fits in. You know, he's the point guard of that team. He's been passing the ball, getting his triple doubles. And you got Kyrie scoring when he wants, hitting clutch shots. And, you know, they've been doing all of this with KD out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just imagine when KD comes back, they'll be even better. But, you know, even though they lost this game against the Magic, you know, they're still looking good. You know, right now they're competing with the Sixers for that top spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they're currently 28-14, you know. Fortunately for the Magic, you know, Aaron Gordon had a great game. You know, he scored 38 points. And, you know, they just move on, you know. So the Nets, they're going to face the Wizards and host them, as a matter of fact. tomorrow night at Barclays Center. So the Nets should be back to their winning ways. And then they're going to be facing Tuesday night. They're going to be on the road against the Trailblazers. So that's going to be an interesting game. Right there to look forward to. Think gears, man. What's your thoughts on? Oh wait, let's talk about before we shift gears, let's talk about the training deadline. Any moves you think the Knicks should make? I know they've been rumored to possibly go after Lonzo Ball, maybe in the trade deadline or even in the off season, because LeVar Ball, he was basically saying that his son needs to be out of there. You know, that they're not using him as a playmaker, you know, on the with New Orleans. And of course Drummond is another one that they're rumored to be going after, and then Oladipo is another person I've been hearing about. What's your thoughts?
I would love to get another big guy. You know, if we can get Drummond, that'd be great. I don't think we need another guard, so I don't think Lonzo Ball would fit, you know, on this team. We have too many guards right now. I mean, some of them are injured, but then when they come back, then where are you going to put all these guys? Now you're going to have, you know, how are you going to find playing time for all these guys? Mm-hmm. I would love to have Drummond. I mean, Oladipo, maybe, you know, I guess. But I'm hesitant about bringing him in because that might kind of, hinder the play of Barrett. Yeah. So I don't know. I think we need a big guy, you know, another guy to help us out in the post. And I think Drummond will be perfect, but I don't want to give up, you know, a bunch of draft picks and Knox for him. So
what do you think about Bradley Beal or JJ Redick?
Bradley is another guy that you'd have to give up the world for.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be great if we can get him.
Right.
But, you know, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we could do it without giving much, then, yeah, I would do that.
What about Redick? I mean, he'd be a great three-point shooter on the team.
Yeah, he'd be a good three-point shooter. Yeah, I think he would fit perfect on this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do need some more outside shooting, so I would love to get him. Yeah. But
I
think most of all, we need another big guy. We need another big man.
Yeah, I'm with you. Definitely with you. Drummond would be great, but I think the price on him would be too much.
Yeah.
With that rate, we might as well get Arnold Drummond. You know what I'm saying? But we'll see what happens with that. The Nets, on the other hand, I mean, they don't really need much. I mean, yeah, they are rumored to get Drummond as well and possibly, I'm trying to think who else they could. They might. I mean, Redick might be another guy too, you know, another guy. But, their offense is potent, you know. But, hey, you never know. There might be another guy who could knock down the three to, you know, complement the big three. I mean, that's a – plus they have Harris too. So, yeah, I mean, the more three-point shooters you could have, that's not a bad thing to have. So, if you were part of the Nets organization, who would you trade for? What would you do?
The Nets, man, they already got a bunch of pieces right now. I mean, I guess, you know, they could use some shooting from the outside. Maybe they could get Redick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could get Redick, and then they'd be set. I mean, they already have a very good team right now. And you got Blake Griffin, you know, coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So they really don't need much.
Right.
But if they could get Redick, that's going to be, you know, a team to beat.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I think they need a big man also. I mean, Redick is great because you need that extra three-point shooter. So when they're trying to zero in on the big three, you have that other guy to, you know, knock down their shots, even though those three are unstoppable, especially Durant and Harden. I mean, you can't you can't stop those guys, man. But it never hurts.
Well, they don't have much, you know, to give up for Drummond, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true.
They give a lot of their pieces in that trade for Harden. So
they might have to give up Dinwiddie. This is for that in that case. But damn, their team's already ransacked already from the
exactly.
Harden trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If they in a perfect world, they should find someone who's defensive minded, a big man, defensive minded big man. You know, sign them to a you know to a contract, and I give them so much of their guys. But yeah, man, they're on the championship hunt. So you know, we'll see what's gonna happen with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's shift gears to the NFL. What's your thoughts on the Giants' big moves these off season?
Well, you know, I hear that they're looking at Kenny Galladay. If we can somehow get Kenny Galladay, who is on the Lions, I hear you know there's rumors that you know he could possibly be coming here. That'd be great. Well, actually, you know what?
Yeah, they have him.
Oh, yeah, they did sign him. Oh,
yeah,
Oh.
4 years, $72 million.
Oh, nice. I thought that was still in the works, but I just saw here, yeah, that they signed him. Oh, that's perfect.
I mean, because you didn't know. But, yeah.
That's perfect.
They signed him.
Wow, 4 years, $72 million.
Either late last night or earlier today.
Oh, man, that's great. That's
yeah,
great.
Continue.
That gives the Giants a, you know, outside guy who's big and who can catch the ball downfield. I mean, him, Sterling Shepard, who's the other wideouts that we have right now on the team? Who's the other guy? I'm forgetting the other guy's name. Who's the other wideout on the team? Forgetting their name. Darius Slayton. Yeah, Darius Slayton, Golden Tate. And then you have Saquon Barkley come back, and hopefully, you know, the tight end, he plays better. But, yeah, I mean, the Giants, you know, they now have weapons to surround Daniel Jones with. So I like this move. And I also like the move they made at linebacker, signing Reggie Ragland. So that's going to be a good addition to the Giants. So, yeah, the Giants so far so good this offseason.
Congrats to them.
Yeah. But that Galladay move, they needed to do that, you know, because I feel like he was the best wide receiver free agent available. And Giants, you know, they got him like they should have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Jets, they made some moves themselves. I mean, they did they didn't get Schuster Smith like they wanted to. I think he re-signed with the Steelers. But they made some the biggest move they made was signing wide receiver Corey Davis. And let me see. They gave him a 3 year 37.5 million dollar contract. So, you know, they definitely needed to do that. I mean, he has potential. He hasn't been great, but he definitely has potential to break out. And,
yeah, definitely. I think the Jets they need to do something at quarterback. Yeah, they need to address that soon on what they're going to do with their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, I know there was rumors, you know, they're going to try to trade for Deshaun Watson, but with these allegations against Deshaun Watson now, that might be out the window.
That definitely that's out of the picture for sure. To Deshaun Watson, I heard that there's a rumor that now with the Jets, you know, recent moves, they might be a better, you know, situation to try to trade for Wilson than the, you know, Chicago Bears, even though Chicago Bears is obviously still in the running, because there was four teams that Russell Wilson said he wanted to get traded to, and unfortunately, then the Jets isn't one of them.
Mm.
I mean, he would be tailor made for the Jets. I mean, he already wears green already. Like,
true.
It'd been a perfect fit for him. I mean,
yeah.
But fortunately, some players they shy away in playing with New York. I guess if it's the Yankees, you don't mind playing for them since you play in their minor league team. I'm pretty sure he would have played for the Giants if that opportunity would have been presented.
I think he wants to go to a winning situation. And maybe he feels like the Jets aren't there yet, maybe.
What these players don't realize is that if you're that great of a player, you can change the franchise and you will attract other people to come.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But because he doesn't see the vision. Plus, you know, you got the new coach, Robert Saleh, man, who, you know, a bunch of people are just raving about him, you know, because he was a, you know, great defensive coordinator. And now he's getting the opportunity to coach. But, yeah, I mean, apparently Carroll is high on Darnold. So there is a possibility he still might get traded to Seattle, but Russell Wilson wouldn't be a part of it. We definitely got to see what's going to go down with that. I mean, plus the Jets could, you know, they could stand pat and just, well, I mean, they could trade Darnold. They could stand pat, or they could use the number two pick and draft, you know, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, you know. But, yeah, I think if you since you can't get Trevor Lawrence, man, you gotta get a proven guy. And Wilson, to me, would be the perfect guy for the Jets.
Hey, if they can put a package together to get him, yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. But, yeah, I guess, you know, some stuff isn't meant to be. Like look at Ken Griffey Jr. He would have been perfect on the Mets playing with Piazza back in the days, but he wanted to go to Cincinnati, you know, where he had history. You know, his father played over there and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. Players gotta do what they think is best for them. So we'll see what happens with that. Washington football team, apparently they're interested in, there's a rumor that they might be interested in acquiring Sam Darnold, even though they signed former Jet Ryan Fitzmagic Fitzpatrick, you know, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
Shifting gears to baseball, and the Mets, man, they got a mess. You know, what can I say? A big blow to their starting rotation. Carlos Carrasco, he's injured. He has a huge injury. He tore his right hamstring while he was doing some post pitching running on Thursday. And unfortunately, you know, he tore his right hamstring. So they're expecting him to miss 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks to be exact. And optimistically, they're hoping that he'll be back by Memorial Day. But yeah, it's messed up. You know, you got Carrasco, and of course, Noah Syndergaard should be coming back. Like after the All-Star break, these are two guys in your rotation that man, you really need them to be healthy. But, yeah, it's messed up.
Yeah, Carl Crawford going to be out?
He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Big blow, man. And this guy, I mean, I've always been a fan of Carlos Carrasco. I always thought he was a good underrated pitcher. And yeah, when there was rumors that Lindor would be there, I mean, that was the guy I was zeroing in on. You know, that they should try to make a trade for that guy. And I had no idea that he would be in the trade as well, you know. I would assume it would have been two separate trades, but he was thrown into the deal. So hopefully he can have a speedy recovery. He's a great addition to the rotation once he gets back.
Yeah.
Healthy. And speaking of Lindor, he's been playing well in spring training. Obviously it's just spring training. He had a grand slam, I think, on Friday. He's racked up a bunch of hits. He hit his first home run a few days ago as well. And plus he was saying he prefers players to, you know, he wants the game to be exciting. He doesn't like the shifts. He feels like people are being too analytic happy. You know, they're just playing the shift and, you know, it's taking the excitement out of the game. And another thing he was mentioning more recently, was that I'm trying to think off the top of my head. That he wants the game to be exciting. He wants the players to, not try to swing for the fences, you know, try to be like more complete hitters, you know, not just try to strike out. But he feels like since MLB is rewarding home run hitters, that's why a lot of players are swinging for the home runs, you know, instead of, you know, being a complete player. Let me see if I could find his actual quotes so I could convey what he was saying. Let me see. Oh, yes. Also, Smith, he has a wrist injury, but he's expected to return into the lineup on tomorrow. Let's see if I could find what he was saying. Yeah, he was saying, here's what he was saying. He was saying, the game is going to evolve. We're professional baseball players. We can adjust. We can make the adjustments that are needed to help the team win. It's just a matter of how we're going to help the team, what the team needs. And when we do go to situations that will help us get paid or help us win certain awards, yeah, we're going to do what the game is telling us to do. When you reward players for hitting home runs, everyone is going to do that. When you reward players for hitting 200 hits, you are going to have 10 guys getting 200 hits a year. But when that's not how the game is evolving, you're going to see guys hitting more home runs. He's absolutely right. That's why you don't really see that many complete players in the game.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's trying to swing for the fences. And not to mention, like I was just saying a minute or two ago, about the shift. Because of the shift, the one way you could avoid being dealt, you know, suffering from the shift is that you hit the ball in the air and preferably out of the ballpark, you know.
Yeah.
But I agree with him 100%. Shifts is obviously important. Analytics is important. They should, you know, give you an idea of what to do. But if you have a gut feeling about in a certain instance, should you go against the stats, then you should do it. You know what I mean? Because sometimes the stats, you know, the stats aren't human.
Sometimes the shit can hurt you.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you never know. There could be a someone could bunt the ball or hit the ball off the end of the bat, and then it's the person got an infield hit, or even down the line because no one's guarding him, like down third base, depending on where the shift is, you know. It depends. If a player is a real a complete player or a person who's motivated, that's like, you know, okay, you're gonna give me that hole, I'm gonna hit through it. I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of players who have that machismo and be like, oh, you're gonna stack those people to the right side. You know, guess what? I'm gonna hit it through the right side anyway.
Yep.
You know, but you know, sometimes you gotta give what the opposition is giving you and take advantage of it.
So
if you
think
the
shift should be illegalized?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that, you know, we should, the shift should be used in, you know, very important situations and not like the whole time. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously there are times in the game where you're going to need the shift, especially late innings. Or if you have people in scoring position and you're going against an ace, you know, on both sides of the opposition, you know, all the runs are going to be at, you know, at the most importance. So, I mean, it just depends on it, on the situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's those are the type of situations when the shift usually takes place. I don't think they're doing it, like, for the whole game.
Well, yeah, no,
right?
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I think there are some teams that are overdoing it. The four outfield positioning and all these other stuff. It's like somebody, you know what I mean? Like some of these people think it's like it's the Game 7 of the World Series. Openers, like openers are important if you know your start. You don't have enough good pitching and your guys are hurt, and you don't want to risk injuring your guys or making them pitch out of. Out of their order, you know, or pitch on short rest. Then okay, go to the opener. But if you're planning on having an opener in advance, it just shows to me that your starting pitching isn't as good as you think it is. Because you're killing the bullpen. You're literally killing the bullpen. I'm just old school like that. Like let the guys come in. If they got to come in a bad situation and save the starter, fine, come in. But when you have someone set to pitch one or two innings to start the game off, I mean, to me, you're setting yourself up for failure.
I think they should limit the number of times a team can do a shift in a game, maybe to like three times in a game.
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't have a problem with
that. You get, because, I mean, it's a... It's preventing players from getting hits,
mm-hmm.
You know, natural hits. You know, that should be rewarded to them. I mean,
exactly.
It's a coward way of playing baseball, I think.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think, if they could, like, limit it to just three times a game, then that'd be
yeah.
That'd be great.
If you're smart, you save it for the late innings.
Yeah.
When you really need it.
Exactly.
That's what you do. I mean, unless if you're in a situation and the opposition has runners in scoring position, you're going against your ace, the battle of two aces, then yeah, then I would say go to the shift earlier than expected.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, let's go to. Alright, let's go to wrestling. The Fastlane pay-per-view event is gonna go down tomorrow night, and here are the matches that are gonna go down at the Fastlane pay-per-view event. You got Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler you know, they're going to be defending their WWE Women's Tag Team title versus Sasha Banks, the SmackDown Women's Champion, and her WrestleMania opponent, Bianca Belair.
Wow.
I'm thinking Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are going to retain again. What do you think?
I mean, didn't they have the same match at the last event?
Didn't they have like this? Yeah, they've had it. They've had this match like practically every time.
This is
like the probably third or at least second or third, fourth time they've had this match.
So I'm gonna go with Sasha and what's her name again?
Bianca Belair.
Bianca to win it. And
that's what I was.
I see Nia and Nia breaking up with what's her name? Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see them breaking up after this.
Yeah, that, I mean that's what
leading up to a feud at WrestleMania.
See, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was originally thinking too. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair finally winning because they've been facing each other so many times. But it doesn't make sense for them to fight each other with the title, with the tag team titles on the line.
Well, I think they would then drop it to another tag team, probably.
You know what? That you know what? You might have a point there. You might have a point. You know what? I think you convinced me. Sasha and Bianca will win it, and then they'll maybe lose it to Natalia and Tamina.
Yeah, that could be
on SmackDown. On a SmackDown before WrestleMania, you have Sasha turn on her, or like you were saying, not too long ago, Bianca turning on Sasha.
Yeah,
but I think Sasha's gonna turn on her because Sasha has already shown her she has some heelish tendencies popping up recently.
Yeah,
so I think you started to convince me. I mean, theoretically, tomorrow night Sasha could turn on her and cost them the title and walk away. It could happen tomorrow.
That's true.
But I think I'm going to have to agree with you. They've had this match too many times for them to not put the tag team titles on them, even though it will be short-lived.
Yeah.
All right. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus, no holds bar match. Hands down, Drew McIntyre, 100%.
Yeah, I'm going with McIntyre as well.
Even if Bobby Lashley would have interfered in this match, Drew McIntyre is going to win. I don't see any. There's really no way Drew McIntyre is going to lose this match.
Yeah, I see McIntyre winning.
Hands down. You got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins. I mean, Nakamura needs this win, but you know how WWE loves Rollins, so he's definitely going to win this.
Yep, I agree. I'm going Rollins, too.
You got Riddle versus Mustafa Ali for the WWE United States Championship. Come on, let's be real. We know Riddle's going to win. Mustafa Ali needs this victory in the worst way, especially trying to give credibility to his retribution stable, but let's be real.
I'm going
Mustafa
Riddle.
Ali is
going
to lose this.
I'm going Riddle.
Bro. All right. Let's see.
This guy's really good. I mean, you know when you walk around barefoot, there's always like, you know, splints and pieces of glass. This guy's going to end up cutting his bottom foot, man. Yeah, with some socks or sandals or something.
Right. Because he walks in with the slippers and then he kicks them off and then he walks outside the ring without them.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like, when I used to fight on my bed, you know, my brothers as a kid.
Maybe you inspire Riddle. Maybe that's the puzzling reason why Riddle likes to fight without the sandal. But yeah,
just imagine someone barefoot drop kicking you in the face.
My goodness. That's crazy. Let me see what else. Oh, here's the best match of the night. Big E. Nope. We're going to get to that later. We're going to talk about the greatest match of all time. Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton in an intergender match. Like, there's no way this match is going to happen. Literally no way this match is going to happen. What's his name? The Fiend is going to attack him with a new look, and Alexa Bliss will get the victory on him.
I think that Fiend is going to dress up as Alexa Bliss and fight Randy Orton. I think that's going to happen.
You know what? That's what's going to happen. Because Alexa Bliss is going to pretend like he's going to fight him. Fiend's going to pop up with a new look, which I guess now you put it in my head could be Alexa Bliss. and then the real Alexa Bliss pins him. But you know what? Maybe Randy Orton might fight himself since they teased it a few weeks ago before he vomited.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alexa Bliss is going to, shockingly enough, Alexa Bliss is going to win this match. If this match even goes down, because this match is pointless. My goodness. WWE is running out of ideas. You could put Cesaro in any of these matches.
I know, right?
Cesaro versus Randy Orton. Yeah, you guys could have did that. Yeah. WWE. But no. Bobby Lashley Bobby Lashley shouldn't even be defending his title anyway. To me, you know what? This pay-per-view event shouldn't even be happening in the first place. Because this, I think I say this every single year ever since this Fastlane pay-per-view event has been happening before WrestleMania. It's such a useless pay-per-view event. It's such a cash grab. Like, did people really need these feuds before WrestleMania? It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a little, the only match that really matters is Big E versus Apollo Crews and the Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan to decide who is the champion. But even that, like, the thing should have been said already. Like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, let's go to Big E versus Apollo Crews. I think Apollo Crews has to win this. With his new gimmick change, he has to solidify it by defeating Big E for the Intercontinental title. Yeah, Big E needs to win because, you know, he has to show that he got his revenge on Apollo Crews, you know, for almost ending his career. But he kind of got a little bit of revenge yesterday when he was beating him up on SmackDown. So this really makes me believe that Apollo Crews is going to walk away with the United Intercontinental Championship.
I'm going with Big E to win it. Big E all the way.
I hope you're right. I'm rooting for Big E, but I think Apollo Crews has to win this for his title, for his new gimmick, unless if they're going to have a rematch at WrestleMania and then Apollo Crews win it there. That's the only way it would make sense for him to lose. Even though, I mean, you could, like I said, you could, this match could go either way because both of these guys really need this win. I say Apollo more so than Big E, but then again, if Apollo wins this, then Big E could feud with Apollo Crews to try to get it back at WrestleMania, which I think he would get it back in that instance. And then if he doesn't, he would whenever he's done versus Apollo, he would set his sight for, you know, the championship, I guess, against Roman Reigns down the line. Maybe at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But that's way down the line from now. And speaking of Roman Reigns, yeah, last but not least, Roman Reigns defending his title against Daniel Bryan for the WWE Universal Championship with Edge as the special guest referee. And if either of these guys win, Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns will face Edge as the champion at WrestleMania. And here's how I think it's going to go down. Roman Reigns will win it, or somehow there's going to be a disqualification, which will allow Daniel Bryan to go on, and it'll be a triple threat match. What do you think that happens?
That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah.
Because there's a rumor I heard that maybe Daniel Bryan might go into the Hall of Fame, and this might be his last. This might be this road to WrestleMania might be his last. Like he kind of hinted at in a promo maybe last week or a few weeks ago.
That's a possibility.
Because there's no way Roman Reigns is not gonna be the champion going into WrestleMania. The question is, will they find a way that there'll be a screwy ending where Daniel Bryan will be inserted into a triple threat match? That's the only question.
Yeah.
Because we all know Roman Reigns is going into WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going into WrestleMania as a champion. No doubt about
mm-hmm.
that.
We know that. But, yeah. And congratulations to Edge. He defeated Jey Uso in his first match in a decade on SmackDown. And, you know, as a result, he won the opportunity to be the special guest referee or the special guest enforcer, I should say. Yeah, I mean, they have some matches that are intriguing, but this all could have been a Raw or SmackDown show. This pay-per-view event literally didn't have to go down. I mean, this could have been Elimination Chamber. This could have been a Royal Rumble match. You know what I mean? This Fastlane pay-per-view event is just meaningless to me.
Yeah, this match is going to happen on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, so they had to do this because they're focusing on Fastlane. Now they're going to have like two or three weeks to promote WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
and that's not enough time to promote WrestleMania.
Yeah,
because they're trying to promote WrestleMania and Fastlane at the same time, and that's why it's like you don't even know what to focus on, Fastlane or WrestleMania. It's just a dumb idea. It's just a dumb idea they had this pay-per-view event. And
they
should have
had it earlier.
Mm-hmm. And this is all going to go down later tonight. Let's see what else. What else happened on Raw and SmackDown?
Oh, congrats to Eric Bischoff for going into
oh,
the
yes.
Hall of Fame.
Thank you for reminding me. Congratulations to Eric Bischoff and Molly Holly as well
yes.
for going into the getting inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. So, you know, NWO and Eric Bischoff are going to be going in this year because last year's one was postponed to this year, and it's going to be a Zoom version. They're going to have a taped, you know, online ceremony.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And the rumor is Batista might not make it, maybe because of his scheduling conflict, maybe because of his acting career, maybe. But we'll find out. But, yeah, we were saying ever since last year, Eric Bischoff should have went in with NWO, and now they're all going to go in, even though it's technically separately, but at least they're all going in the same, you know, same time, even though it's technically two different years. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Apparently, X-Pac, a guy, obviously, he's, you know, a member of, he's in the Hall of Fame as DX and upcoming as NWO. he wants to come out of retirement and fight in WWE.
Really?
Yeah.
Sean Waltman?
Yep. There's only one Xbox.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently he wants to... he wants to come back to WWE. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, me neither.
I definitely did not see that coming. Thinks he still has something left in the tank. So,
I mean, he could probably go to AEW.
Yeah, I would have thought that too. But you know, he's tied with WWE. You know, with the click. So he has a huge soft life with WWE. You know.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, Billy Gunn is over there in AEW, but yeah, I think he's definitely. I don't think he has anything to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the door is always open for him to return to WWE. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Let me see what. Oh yeah. Yeah, there was last week. There was a TNA pay-per-view event yesterday. It was a TNA Sacrifice. And, yeah, some big stuff went down at that pay-per-view event. Let me see if I could find out what happened. Because I know the big thing was there was a unification match. They had a unification match for the TNA and Impact Wrestling heavyweight titles between Moose and Rich Swann. But yeah, let's dive into it. Decay, they defeated Reno Scum in a tag team match. Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma when she was in WWE, her and Caleb with a K defeated Havoc and Neva in an intergender tag team match. Violent by Nature with Diener and Joel Doring. They defeated Kip Sabian and James Storm in a tag team match. Eddie Edwards defeated Brian Myers, formerly known as Kurt Hawkins, in a Hold Harmless match. Fire and Flavor, which is Kira Hogan and Tasha Steeles, defeated Jordan Grace and Jazz. Yep, that Jazz, formerly of WWE. In a tag team match, they defeated, Jazz and Jordan Grace to I guess retain the title.
This was last Saturday?
Yeah, this was last Saturday. March 13th. Wait, March 13th, isn't that last Saturday? Let me do the math in my head.
March 13th. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was last Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what else? Let me go back. Then you had Ace Austin defeating TJP for the Impact X Division Championship. You have Deanna Purrazzo retaining the title against TNA Impact OG ODB for the Impact Knockout Championship. And then you had Finn Juice, which has David Finley and Juice Robinson defeat the Good Brothers Carl Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson for the Impact World Wrestling Tag Team Championship. And then last but not least, Rich Swann, the Impact World Champion, defeating the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Moose, to retain the titles and become the undisputed Impact TNA World Champion. I don't know what title they're giving him, but he's basically the undisputed champion of TNA Impact now. So congratulations to Rich Swann. And as a result, there's more. Since Rich Swann unified the title, he's going to be going against AEW Kenny Omega to determine who's going to be the undisputed champion from both of these companies. So, yeah, business is picking up.
Yeah.
Let me see. When are they gonna face each other? Let me just check right here. Let me see. When is he going to face Kenny Omega? Rebellion, which is also a WWE pay-per-view event, but for a UK show. Yeah. So basically, Rich Swann is going to face, like I said, AEW World Champion Kenny Omega at the Rebellion pay-per-view event. It's whatchamacallit. It's going to be on April 24th, 2021 at Skyway Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. So yeah, this is, that's going to be a major, major historic, what's your thoughts on it, Mac?
Yeah, that's I'm so behind on AEW right now. That's why every Wednesday nights I keep telling myself I'm going to watch it and then I never get to watch it. Mm-hmm. And that's the pay-per-view events. You're the one that's always giving me updates on AEW. Yeah, I get the updates from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know, that's what I'm here for, you know.
Yeah.
The listeners here, if you're a little behind, you know, here to get you up to date. And shifting gears to AEW, which, I mean, technically we have been covering AEW a little bit. What was I going to say again? Yeah, Oh, yes, the MJF group is officially known as Pinnacle. So that rumor was correct. Pinnacle is the name of their faction. And, MJF was dissing on Jericho. And, there's going to be a future showdown between them somewhere down the line once Jericho recuperates from the injuries he suffered, last week. Because he was bloodied. He had a crimson mask like it was ECW or the Attitude Era WWE. Never seen him bleeding like that before. But yeah, they got their butt kicked, man, badly. Trying to think what else happened on AEW that I'm missing. I can't think of anything else right now off the top of my head. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, on Impact, not Impact, NXT, Finn Balor, he's going to be facing Karrion Kross at the upcoming NXT takeover event. And basically, at the beginning of the show, the beginning of the show of NXT, basically Scarlett was able to convince Larkin and I forgot the name of the other group, the tag team champions. It's Larkin and I forgot the other guy's name. Yeah, their names escape me for the moment. But yeah, she convinced the tag team group to put the title on the line against Karrion Kross and Finn Balor, the tag team title. And but things didn't go as planned because Finn Balor accidentally kicked the tag team champions, and then afterwards, as a result, Scarlett got knocked down, which made Karrion Kross PO'd, and he attacked Finn Balor, and caused Finn Balor to get pinned. So they weren't able to become the new tag team champion. So they're still on the collision course for the title, which that might foreshadow what's going to happen on. That might foreshadow what's going to happen later tonight with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair when they feud against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the tag team titles. So,
yeah,
something worth noting. And then Austin Theory, he lost to Dexter Lumis in their long-awaited match. Can't think of anything else really. Let's shift gears finally to March Madness. I mean, there have been some upsets. Ohio State. Trying to think of some other ones.
Yeah, the Ohio State upset. That was the big one of the tournament so far, it looks like. You know, Oral Roberts upsetting them. And let me see what else. Other upsets. You had some good games today. Well, Gonzaga, you know, they entered this tournament at 26-0. They became the fourth team to enter the NCAA tournament undefeated. And tonight, you know, they look like world beaters. They gave Norfolk State a Haitian beating, 98-55.
Give them an old-fashioned baton.
Oh, yeah. A Haitian parent beating right there.
So. Oh, man.
But I'm looking at these other games. Some of these other games are very close.
Mm-hmm.
You got local team Rutgers advanced. They beat Clemson.
Yeah, unfortunately, Patrick Ewing and the coaching his alma mater Georgetown, you know, they suffered the loss, a beatdown. You know,
yeah,
that Cinderella story is over now.
Yeah, you got Michigan looking real good in his first round. Also, they get face LSU, Illinois looking good. And a strange thing happened, though. So Oregon and VCU, they were supposed to play tonight, but some players on VCU tested positive. So because of that, VCU has been disqualified, and Oregon moves on to the next round to play Iowa.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
It truly shows it's the sign of the times, man.
Yeah, you get disqualified because of a fucking disease. Not disease, but, you know...
Yeah, the pandemic.
Virus, yeah.
But we'll see what happens next week.
Oh yeah.
This March Madness.
Who do you think is gonna win March Madness? I'm going with Gonzaga to take it all.
I think Syracuse will win.
Syracuse? Okay. Who did they beat, by the way? I didn't even see them. Who did he even play in this tournament? I didn't even see them in the, any of the brackets. I probably overlooked them.
They're gonna face. They defeated San Diego State 78-62, and they're gonna face West Virginia coming up.
Okay.
I like to go outside the box sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know about Syracuse, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
But anything else you'd like to talk about before we head out?
No. Just rest in peace, Marvin Hagler. He passed away. Great middleweight. He passed away earlier this week, right? I think.
Was it last week? It might have been last week. You know, yes, it was last week, but we forgot to talk about it. Yeah, rest in peace, man. Arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, middleweight champions of all time. Like, this guy dominated for nearly a decade. So, rest in peace, champ.
Yeah, but other than that, check out your local listings for the IMAC show. Doing my own annual Mac Madness tournament in honor of March Madness. And it was a crazy night tonight, so we'll have part two next week. So check your local podcast listings for that show.
Yep. And feel free to check out Mac Show IMAC and check out my YouTube channel, Sports of Religion TV. And come back here next Saturday at 11, and we'll continue the continuation of March Madness and what else is going on in the world of sports. So he's Macaulay Matthew, I'm William Amo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.